Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber.
He's on vacation.
It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in to another brand new edition of Evan and Tiki. Tiki Barber on vacation. He'll return in a couple of days. I know that last night's Yankee win did not change the views of Sean Morash or many Yankee fans. It was just another win against a bad team. I think that's part of the job. I think part of the job is to beat who's on your schedule. And credit to Cam Schlittler and credit to the Yankee offense. They did their job last night. So I already know that last night didn't change anything for you around the Yankees. But what I ask, because I battle these internal emotions as a Met fan, is did last night change anything for us? Because the Mets did do a few things that I've questioned for a long time. Number one, and I said this to you yesterday, I've talked about this on the Rico Bronya, the Mets have had a glass jaw. Yeah. They have not been the 2024 team in the way they fight back. And last night, when they were trailing 3-0 to a tough cookie in Christopher Sanchez, I'm not going to lie, Rich Ackerman was very accurate in his update. I thought they were dead. Like, I thought this is going to be a listless, useless kind of loss against Philadelphia. They're going to drop themselves 8 games out of first place. You could forget the division anyway. And I just thought it was going to be a bad night. And with 2 outs and nobody on out of absolute nowhere, they start rallying. And they score 13 unanswered runs, with only one of which being a home run.
Right.
So a lot of clutch hitting. They got it from basically everyone in the lineup, not named the stars. Like Francisco Lindor was 0-for-6 with 3 strikeouts. Pete Alonso was 1-for-5. And yet it was Luis Torrens. It was Tyrone Taylor. It was Jeff McNeil. It was Mark Vientos. And so there's a part of me that thinks, wow, that's the kind of win that should encourage us. That's the kind of win that should make us believe, all right, things are starting to change. But then the other side of me says, nah, not really. They haven't played consistently well enough for me to believe that. Kodai Senga still struggled over 4 innings when he shouldn't have made the start on regular rest. So I put you in the big chair, Sean, as the IBO. Was last night's Met victory the kind of win that should excite us all as fans to think, all right, things are changing? I'm not going to say a DVD kind of win, but the kind of win that maybe turns this whole thing around.
So while I'm with you, you need to see more than this, right? You could give it all back and lose tonight, lose tomorrow, lose 2 out of 3, and this means nothing. And for baseball in New York, we've seen a lot of that. But yes, it is, Evan. Yes, it is. For a lot of the reasons. When you explode like that versus a rival, 13 runs, and continue to send the message to the Phillies, by the way, despite our struggles, we will continue to own you. I think you can lean on that. You have that goofy delay with the glare where the Phillies are crying like babies. And you end up having that kind of becoming a rallying cry on social media last night with the glare, and you respond. And Mark Vientos, above anything else, when some of us stupidly were talking about, oh, is this the odd man out, trade him, he continues to push the right buttons and dial it up. I think the Mets offense last night found something within them where, hey, we don't have to always go as Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor goes. We could have nights like this versus a good starting pitcher. So there is an opportunity there with the little hokey moment with the glare that you could look back on last night and say that was a pivotal turning point. And, oh, by the way, bumping up your lead on the Reds to 2.5 games at least gives you that, again, that breathing
cushion. Oh, that was
cushion.
Big. That
That's
was big.
The biggest part of the whole thing.
No doubt.
Night.
I found myself staying up late to make sure the Dodgers took care of business. That's Pennant Race baseball. I think there were a lot of good signs from last night's win. And there have been some good signs over the last few weeks. And you mentioned Mark Vientos. I remember saying this to you guys back in June, as he was continuing his year-long struggle, that he was the most important guy to this lineup.
Yeah.
That getting him going changes everything. And he has really changed over the last 30 days. I think the line of demarcation I was looking at was basically a few days after he came back from his brief stint on the injured list, where he missed a bunch of time. So I pulled it up this morning on Baseball Reference because I was curious. Like, all right, how long has this gone on? In the last 30 games, which is a pretty good sample size, right around a month, Mark Vientos is hitting .304 with a .900 OPS, 6 home runs, and 24 RBIs. So we are now seeing an extended run from Vientos that has lasted a month. And it's not just him. I think what's encouraging, and don't confuse what I find encouraging with thinking, all right, all is well with the world.
Sure.
Because I'm still not there yet. But it is encouraging that they don't have to overly rely on the four stars, that you can get an off night from Lindor, who goes 0-for-6, and still win a baseball game, that you can get a good night from Juan Soto. I mean, guy was on base three times, but it's not like he was hitting three-run home runs or driving guys in. You could get a quiet night from Pete Alonso and still score 13 runs. Like, that's, I think, one of the most encouraging things, that you can get contributions from everyone in the order. And then the other thing was the bullpen bailing out Kodai Senga.
Well, that's for sure.
Because Kodai Senga, and I'm a big supporter of his, Sean. I love the guy. I've defended him against some Met critics who are all pissy that he can't pitch on regular rest.
Isn't Everything needs Jets to be favorite perfect. Player?
It was Jets' favorite player.
Oh, he's turned. Okay.
You know who Jets' favorite player is?
It's Juan Soto.
Not quite. Jets' favorite player is a very patient man. He's a patient child. He knows it's close to happening. Jets' favorite player is currently residing in AAA, and his name is Jet Williams.
All right, fair enough. That's understandable.
Come on. Now, he likes Kodai Senga, and I like Kodai Senga. Like, I do. I'm not quick to turn on him, but I'm also very quick to call people out when they're not performing. Like, I'm not going to hide behind that. I love Pete Alonso. He had a miserable weekend in Atlanta, despite the two-run home run he hit on Saturday. Kodai Senga's becoming a problem.
No, he's got to give you more.
So when we talk about, hey, that was a great win, and it was, I still can't look past some of the other issues that face this team. And Kodai Senga is really important to this rotation. He needs to be better than the four-inning blob that he's been since he's come off the IL.
Yeah, and Kodai Senga, it's two-pronged, right? You brought this up yesterday about pitching on regular rest and how big a mistake that could be in Mendy's early handling of the rotation.
You could just say, Evan, you were right.
Evan, you were right.
Thank you.
Him pitching on regular rest was a disaster, but the problem is even on some extended rest, he's not giving you any length.
No, his issue since coming off the IL hasn't been exclusive to regular rest. That was his first start doing so. To me, it was more, he's not pitching well. He hasn't pitched on regular rest in 2 years. Why would you put him in that spot? But you're right. Like, since he's come back off the IL, I don't recognize the guy.
Yeah, well, and here's where I think that you could look at this positively. While that is an enormous problem that the Mets have, I mean, there was a point in time this year before the injuries, the ERA leader in the National League. You have to look at the offense coming alive, and we've been screaming about runners in scoring position, doing everything the Mets have done wrong this year, and a moment like that, and acknowledge, hey, just because we've paid Kodai Senga and he's supposed to be the ace in theory doesn't mean we necessarily have to rely on him when the chips eventually come down to play October baseball. Tommy talked about Nolan McClain yesterday. Obviously, we have trust in David Peterson. In a world where Kodai Senga maybe at best can be your third starter, not just because of money, because of performance,
right.
I think it's far more important to get this offense going
signs
of that.
No doubt.
So I think it's a death blow the way Senga's pitched to this team's ultimate goals.
The offense, going back to the beginning of this season, the reason I thought the Mets would be good was because they were going to be a team built around their offense.
Right.
And for the most part this season, it just hasn't been the case. They have not been an elite-level offense. They have been a very good to elite level offense for a few weeks now.
Yes.
And I am hoping that this is the real Met offense. And they still haven't completely unlocked Juan Soto, even though he has been unlocked. He still gets on base three times a game. He's been better in clutch situations. But we're waiting for that explosion, which I think will eventually happen.
Or even Lindor on just three straight weeks of being awesome.
Yeah, he got hot recently. Yes, He's cooled off a little bit. But you're right about the offense. I thought it was a good win. Like, I'm not poo-pooing it. I just can't look at one win, or at least that one win, and think, okay, everything's changing. Now, you brought something up, and sometimes I can be a sucker for this, but you're going to have to sell me.
All right.
I was at Citi Field last night at a wonderful time, and one of my favorite parts was that delay. I have to tell you, selfishly, I get to the game late because I'm racing over from work. I'm rushing to get my scorecard set. I'm talking to my buddy Dennis, and I feel like the game is happening, and it's happening too quick, even though it wasn't even a quick game.
Right.
When the delay occurs in the top of the fifth inning, right after Jose Castillo, who made his gallant return, gets a big double play against Alec Boehm, obviously the delay starts. Alec Boehm is a whiny, crying little biatch, so he complained, oh, I see something. Something's in my eyes. I don't know. And they stopped the game to check out the boom mics, which it took me about 2 minutes to realize.
We're calling them Boehm mics now?
Boehm mics? Oh, because his name is Alec Boehm. Very good. So they delay the game, and I really enjoyed the delay. Like, it almost made me think that baseball needs a halftime.
Oh, God.
Because it allowed me to catch up on my scorebook, allowed me to take a deep breath, and the best part was my buddy Dennis is there. He's like, hey, you took me to the game, Ev? You want some food? I was like, hell yeah. Give me a hot dog. And I usually say no because I'm too busy watching the game and scoring the game. He comes back with a hot dog. I eat the hot dog. The game still hasn't restarted. I'm like, this is amazing. Then it restarts, and that schmo Brandon Marsh, who hasn't taken a shower in 3 years, bounces out on the first pitch.
Yep.
And I look at my buddy, I'm like, this was great. So I love the delay selfishly. You're telling me that this delay could be the new, like, spark for the Mets season?
Look, for me, we said at the beginning of the year, and we joked about a lot of this, so I understand a lot of this is tongue-in-cheek. All right, you got that, Anthony Gallo? When we have moments like Grimace and OMG and the pumpkin and all that crap, we said all year the Mets hadn't had something you can lean on. Last night versus a rival, it was something about the way Alec Bohm was bitching and moaning, crying about it. And it was the ridiculousness of a microphone glare that has basically existed all year.
Yeah.
That suddenly, after that moment, now the Mets had already come back a little bit, but they completely take off and hang two touchdowns on the Phillies in a game the Phillies are crying about a mic. I know that it's hard to see the forest through the trees, and I'm guilty of this with negativity. But I think if the Mets start to rally off here and they win this series, maybe they sweep this series and they really start pumping their chests out, you could look back and go, it all started on glare night.
Oh, God.
And the microphone glare doesn't need to throw out a first pitch and be dressed like a purple blob.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be the rally pimp. He doesn't need to be named Seymour Wiener. I think the mic glare could be the moment where the Mets rock its red glare.
So I appreciate the attempt. I don't buy any of that for a second, but can I tell you what I would buy?
Okay.
Okay. What I try to do sometimes is put myself in other people's shoes. I try to do that when I talk about the Yankees, when I talk about the Giants, when I talk about the Knicks. It's why I try to be an IFO, IBO, IBO. I try to think about, okay, what would I be saying? What would my brethren be saying if this was us? Can I, and I don't want to offend you or the audience, do you mind if I become a Philly fan for 30 seconds?
Yeah, we know it's not authentic. Okay. So go for it.
If I was a Philly fan last night, and I think to you and what you've said about Yankees Red Sox, I do. I think about the idea that Yankee fans believe, well, we can't beat the Red Sox. We can't beat the Astros, right? They think that. Now, I disagree with it, but you guys think that. If I was a Philly fan, or if, let's say, you were a Philly fan, or most of our audience were Philly fans, what would you be saying today? And I think if you're being honest with yourself, what you'd be saying today is, we can't beat the New York Mets.
No doubt.
And Alec Bohm bitching and whining about a boom mic is an example of the tears. An example of the, we can't beat them. Because there was something else that happened after last night's game that points me in this direction. You know Bryce Harper? You familiar with his work?
I'm very familiar with Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Apparently Brian Cashman's not.
That's right. Bryce Harper had a quiet 1-for-4 day. I'll get into the rivalry pack that he has debuted, which has pissed a lot of people off maybe a little bit later. But Bryce Harper made a very innocent comment about how sometimes it feels like the Mets know what's coming. Like the Mets are so good at stealing signs. Mm-hmm. Now, Bryce did not accuse the Mets of anything nefarious because there's nothing against sign stealing. It's a part of baseball. The Astros were different. They took it up a notch. But sign stealing is a part of the game. So I want to make this clear. I don't think Bryce Harper was accusing the Mets of anything. And quite frankly, even if he did, I could give two rats asses. Like, I don't care.
Two rats asses.
Two rats
asses.
Really
up the rats asses.
That's right. But I think Bryce Harper making a very innocent, honest comment about, man, it's like they know what's coming. And you combine that with Alec Bohm saying, the glare, the glare. It kind of reeks of a team that's starting to think, well, we can't beat them. Why? Yeah.
It's in their head.
We're better than them. And let's be honest, Met fans, they've been better than us. They had a better record last year. They have a better record this season. Yet head to head, it hasn't been the case. We know what happened in the DS last year. We know what's happened so far in the regular season. I don't fully buy all this stuff. But again, I'm trying to put myself in the Philly fan shoes.
No, it's meant
to. I could see the Bohm stuff kind of relating to this whole, I don't get why we can't beat this team. We beat everybody else. And you're almost frustrated. And if that is truly becoming a mental thing, that's great for us.
It is great. And again, not that you want to see the guy banged up, but you know if you see this team in the playoffs, you're not going to see Zach Wheeler either. That's going to rain on them or grain on them. But you know what this reminded me of in reverse, Evan?
Go ahead.
Tommy's made a lot, and he's not here today. He's grieving about Tommy DeVito. Tommy's made a lot of the idea of the big brother stuff, the little brother stuff. Old Mets stuff a couple years ago was, oh my God, Joe Musgrave's got something on his ear. Stop the game. Do this. It reminded me of the Musgrave in reverse, and I think there was something to it last night where it felt refreshing from an IBO standpoint to look at the other team in Citi Field and be looking for reasons as to why you can't beat this team.
But,
and that seemed ridiculous.
No, I totally get that, but keep this in mind, and this thought went through my head very briefly as I was enjoying that hot dog in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
The Mets go to a reliever named Jose Castillo, who's been DFA'd multiple times by this team. He comes into a game because Reed Garrett went on the injured list. He comes in, he gets a huge double play against Alec Boehm. Great job by him. Now there's a 20-minute delay. It's a 3-2 game.
Yep.
It's entirely possible that that delay is going to screw with Jose Castillo. And the Phillies rally, and we're talking about the delay having the complete opposite effect. Same thing with Joe Musgrave. Like, I go back to that day at Citi Field, wild card game number three. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated what Buck Showalter did. Because to me, they had nothing to lose.
I agree.
They're getting shut down by a guy. His spin rate is off the charts. There's Vaseline on his ear. Like, why not? Well, it didn't work,
yeah.
But why not? And so it could have gone the other way last night. It didn't.
But it didn't.
But it didn't.
That's all that matters.
You're right.
It didn't. And sometimes you could do the what-if game. Moments come when you least expect them.
So what is our rallying cry exactly? Like, how is this going to be portrayed on the scoreboard? How are we as Met fans going to scream about it? Like, Grimace was easy. Bunch of drunk people dressed up as Grimace. Grimace on the scoreboard. Grimace has his own seat.
What is this?
Is this a microphone?
Super easy.
Go ahead.
The Mets stadium ops situation has perfected in many ways the intros for relievers and those light shows. Lights go out. Dude, this is the rally monkey in Anaheim. You put a talking microphone on the scoreboard, and half the stadium's lights come on at certain moments, and you start flickering lights as a rally mic comes on.
It's the what mic?
Rally mic.
It's the rally mic. Interesting.
They rallied after the glare of the microphone. You caused the glare with the lights.
You know what's so crazy? I think this is incredibly dopey. I'd be the first one to tell you
Who cares?
If the Mets go out and sweep the Philadelphia Phillies and go win 10 out of their last 11.
They have the rally mic.
I love it.
And by the way, dopey? Was Grimace not dopey? Was Hawktua dopey? The pumpkin dopey? Who cares if it's dopey? The team needs something to lean on. Oh my God. Even if the dugout doesn't need something to lean on, the fans do. And you know what? The fans are looking for a reason not to be negative.
Well, Rosenberg, I will tell you this. Paul Rosenberg doing a great job on the board. Just gave you some of the clips from last year. The OMG song, Grimace being our hero. You got 4.5 hours. You better come up with something that signifies the rally microphone. So that's on you to figure out.
Come on, man. Nas, one mic.
There you go.
I will take care of it.
All right. We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. We'll get to the Yankees as well, their victory over the Washington Nationals last night and what it means. Plus, I have definitive evidence that will calm down Yankee fans in terms of their fear of the Boston Red Sox and why they can't beat them. Undeniable proof that will calm everybody down.
Oh, the Red Sox traded their whole roster with the Nationals?
Plus, we'll pay tribute to Tommy DeVito, who's not dead, but his career in New York has ended for now. At some point, Brian Rascona, who is filling in here today you're filling in for Loogie, or maybe you're filling in for Tiki. You're filling in for Tiki.
Correct.
And Scones is filling in for Sean, and Rosie's filling in for Loogie. But at some point, Scones
has... fourth preseason game.
I think so. But Scones has to address something he was saying to me off air that leaked through on the air. Did you hear this?
I did. My headphones were out.
So while we're off the air, we can communicate with what they call as a talk back button. So you don't hear it on the air. At least you're not supposed to. And we were having a conversation. And I was actually talking about this guy I want to play a clip of from Philadelphia named Brody, who's like this really crazy Philly fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was comparing him. I was explaining to Scones who he is. Scones like, who is this guy? I said, he's like Frank the Tank of Philadelphia.
Ugh.
And Scones said, I don't like Frank the Tank. So what the hell's your issue with Frank the Tank?
Well, it's just because, he's your flamboyant guy that decides that when the Mets are in the doldrums, he wants to go and throw stuff in his living room and go nuts and cause a scene. I think it's somewhat fake, to be honest with you.
Well, first of all, I know Frank a little bit. I don't think it's fake, but here's how I'm going to convince you that you should love Frank the Tank.
It's kind of like a circus act, you know what I mean? Like, enough already. Stop, you know?
I think he's genuine, man. Every time I've run into him, like, he is who he is.
So, hold on. The reason being, I think we've come to the conclusion that my elbow hit the on-air button as I was in the talkback. I think that's what happened.
That's fine.
By 13 years being here, first time that's ever actually happened.
Luckily, you didn't say anything that bad. You just gave an opinion that you would also give on the radio.
Correct.
So,
yes.
That's okay. But the reason I was bringing it up is because there's a guy in Philadelphia. His name is like Brody.
Okay.
And I'm a huge fan. I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of this guy's work. He does a YouTube channel in which he talks about the Philadelphia Phillies. And I think what I respect about him is that I can look into his eyes and I see a die-hard Philly fan.
Wait, but what was your reasoning, though, as to why you like him compared to Frank the Tank? Now, you put me on the spot.
Yes.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, no.
That wasn't on air. What did you say?
Well, about Brody?
Yes.
I think he's a more intellectual Frank the Tank.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's a dagger. That's a shot to Frank the Tank.
It's not a shot.
Yes,
no,
it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. And he's right. He is more intellectual.
If someone said to me, you know, Evan, you're a less intellectual Christopher Mad Dog Russo, do you think I'd be offended by that? Or I'd say,
yeah,
oh.
I would. Yes. I would.
So what do you... Frank the Tank doesn't pretend that he went to Yale.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I've spent some time with Frank the Tank.
You're missing the point. He doesn't portray himself that he's going to Yale, but Evan thinks that this person is a more intellectual person compared to him.
Nelson Cortez.
Maybe if I could read Evan's mind. Evan's mind is saying he goes just as nuts as Frank the Tank about his team, but I don't know. If not for screaming about the railroad, he... you know, has held another job?
No, I didn't say. I think that this guy, and I'm going to play you a clip coming up, gets into more detail.
That sounded like a shot, by the way. It really was.
I didn't even know what it meant. That he wouldn't have a job?
Like, well, Frank the Tank is not at Barstool. If he doesn't go nuts, the Jersey Transit shut down.
Well, you're not here if you don't crap yourself on the air on the network.
Okay, but, you know, I'm probably walking around, you know.
Still debatable, by the way. I don't believe that he actually did it.
I did.
I still don't. I called you out the day it happened.
It was a wet fart.
And I was right.
Scones has shown us in the last few minutes, he's very skeptical of a lot of things.
Oh, 1,000%.
Which is good. You need to be.
Yes.
But this guy, Brody, is a Philadelphia version of Frank the Tank. He's
right.
Very, very passionate, and he gets angry when his team loses. So when the Phillies lose, as someone who hates the Phillies, I like to check in. I like to see what's up. Would you guys like to hear a little bit of Brody after the New York Mets beat the Philadelphia Phillies last night?
It's Philadelphia tears. Hell yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, and there are a lot of beeps because, got to remember, this is YouTube, okay? You can say what you want. It ain't WFAN. It ain't WIP. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia tears.
You just got kicked. There's a difference between... losing a game, and then flat out pitched. You know how we always agree the Super Bowl finished 40-6? 13-3. 13-3. That was a murder scene. This was the biggest game of the season. Bryce! Unacceptable. There's no other way to explain it. Orange gloves, black, blue, and orange cleats. Let's focus on the game. You could have blew this wide open.
He's about to cry.
Seven games up. That's the biggest game of the year.
All right, well, because they're facing the Mets. It goes
back. Was that
back.
It, by the way? I didn't know if that was the
game. Right. I thought there was more because you didn't say anything right afterwards. So I'm like, did I not get everything?
No. I had to cut some of it out. I mean, this was 45 minutes of screaming and yelling.
How was that the biggest game of the year for the Phillies that you could react that way?
I think here's why. Remember how I was becoming a Philly fan for 30 seconds?
Yes.
They think they're going to win the division, as they should. They also don't think they could beat the Mets. They lost to them in the division series last year. They've lost 5 out of 7 of them this year. Like, I think the Philly fan is fearful of the Mets the way the Yankee fan is fearful from Boston.
But this is where this guy's an idiot, by the way. And even Frank the Tank, I think I take umbrage with you. You said Frank the Tank sounds more intellectually right than this guy. If the Yankees were 7 games up on the Jays or Red Sox for the division, but also couldn't beat them, but still were up despite that, I wouldn't be calling it the biggest game of the year. I'd be, whatever. We'll cross that bridge when we see it in the playoffs.
Well, to this point, is that not the biggest game of the year for the Philadelphia Phillies?
No.
Well, what was then?
I mean, I'd have to go back on the schedule.
Like, you're playing the team that's trailing you in the division.
But you're playing so many games.
I understand that. But I think as of now, as of August 25th, it was. Either way, those tears made me smile. Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Seth is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Seth?
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
If you look back to 2015, it was the rally parakeet. Last year, obviously, Grimace. And this year, you know, Mikey the microphone. Some random things, you know, can just spark the team. Alec Boehm is just a crying lunatic.
Yeah. I don't know if Mikey the microphone is really going to rally us, though. I'm sorry.
It's the Boehm mic.
See, you know what I think they can do if the Mets scoreboard operators really want to take advantage of this? What they can do is when Alec Boehm comes to the plate tonight, they, instead of putting his stats up, instead of putting his picture up, should put a giant picture of the Boehm mic on the scoreboard so he stares at it as he comes into the batter's box.
I agree. I absolutely
And therefore, agree. You control Alec Boehm. And I do think you control him. I just don't think this is something that, you know, continues throughout the season.
The rally mic, I think, is here to stay. I do. I'd go a step further. You know what I would do? Tomorrow, as those mascots are running for the five boroughs, I'd have a giant microphone come out of nowhere and pummel all five down and win the race.
See, I like that. That's some creativity right there. Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, Evan. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
If someone told you you were less intellectual than Tiki, you wouldn't be upset because Tiki's a very intellectual guy.
Exactly. That's true. That's a better comparison. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, as far as the Mets, listen, very encouraging. Obviously, the Santos has been playing really well lately. Encouraging that they continue to beat the Phillies. But not encouraging is that the starting pitching has to go more than four innings, Evan. And the fact that they scored 13 runs means absolutely nothing. You'll ask the Yankee fans who have watched the Yankees score, you know, 10 runs, you know, per game, I mean, all year, and it's ridiculous. They don't care about that. And if Soto can pull a Cespedes or a Daniel Murphy 2015 and the other stars do their job, the Mets can go far in the playoffs. If not, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, so in terms of scoring 13 runs, obviously, once they're up in this game 10-3, you could call the dogs off, like adding extra runs on a Jeff McNeil RBI single and a Luis Torrens RBI single in the eighth inning did nothing for me. And in fact, at that point, I wanted to go home. So I was willing for them to ground out so I could leave.
No, you weren't.
No, I was done. I was done. For two reasons. Number one, A, I wanted to go home. But really, the other reason is, and I know this is irrational. I admit this. There's a part of me that worries that when you score such an absurd amount of runs, the next day, you're going to score one run. And so once they have made it this comfortable...
You're a maniac.
I think by the time it was 10-3, and that was after 7, I was good. I was like, all right, I'm good.
Come on, pour it on.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Embarrass Philadelphia. Pummel them.
My dad texted me the exact same thing after the game. He's like, watch, they lose 2-1 tonight. I mean, we think that way sometimes. But the other reason, or the important thing, is that this offense too many times has scored a bunch of runs and then goes to sleep. Like, the Mets scored 3 runs in the 4th to tie the game. They tacked on a run in the 5th to take the lead. The old Mets, that would have been it. Like, okay, great. We got you your 4 runs. Go make it hold up. And even though the bullpen did, I wouldn't have been as confident of them doing that if you asked me that question in the top of the 6th inning. So I thought it was important to see the offense not just say, all right, we got you 4 runs, it's over, and tack on the 2 in the 6th and the 4 in the 7th. But yeah, by the time you're pouring it on in the 8th inning, I'm good. I'm good for a myriad of reasons, and that being one of them.
What does stink about last night in a game 13-3, you're still using Rodgers and Helsley. Like, usually when you have a game like that.
No, you're dead wrong, first of all. You know, here's where you're wrong, okay?
I'm not saying you didn't have
to. No. Ryan Helsley is not a high-leverage guy. Until he reproves he's a high-leverage guy.
Right, fair enough, because I felt that way about Devin Williams.
Well, Devin Williams is a different discussion, which is worthy of happening, but think about this. So, Jose Castillo, they kind of had to go to because you're going to the bullpen in the 5th inning, which is on Senga. Tyler Rogers in the 6th inning, perfect. Brooks Raley in the 7th inning, perfect. They're all close games.
Right.
When Raley came in, it was a 3-run game. Still a close game. When they broke it open, and now they're up 10-3, that was the perfect time to go to Helsley. If it was a 1-run game, you know what I would have done in the 8th inning? Think I'm kidding. I would have gone to Edwin Diaz. I needed that victory, and I wasn't going to mess around. So I think you're mischaracterizing Ryan Helsley, at least in my mind at this book. He needs a couple of good outings before I reinsert him in a high-leverage spot.
Look, this goes back to the Senga issue. All I am saying is, typically speaking, when you blow a game wide open like that, it sucks to look down and go, We use five of these arms that are, you know, are important to get through a series. Now, okay, Helsley notwithstanding.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Helsley in that category just until he reproves himself. Let's go to Richie in Queens. How you doing, Richie?
Hey, Ev, it's been a while. Sonny, I know we speak all the time.
What's up?
Just a couple of things. And just give me an extra minute because I haven't been on from you for a while. Kudos to you on that trip to Europe. Because I told Sonny, he had no idea. You had your mother-in-law, father-in-law, your wife, two kids, and a strange only you
in a strange
can pull that off.
I know.
You are just, that's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate you appreciating that because I don't think enough people understand what I pulled off with my entire family. So thank you for that, Richie.
And Richie, I know, I'll let you continue, but Italy is not a strange country.
What was that?
I mean, Italy's a free country.
No, I'm not saying strange. You're in a strange country because you've not been there, Sonny.
Exactly.
I mean, you're not on the Long Island Expressway here. And, you know, you can bring your family on a tour bus. It's tough enough. But in a car, Ev, you are amazing.
Thanks.
The other thing, too, before I get to the Mets, the thing with Francesa hitting BT with a golf ball.
What happened? I checked out very good while I was gone.
I don't know the story either.
So Francesa hit.
BT Licata and JJ played golf with Mike at his club.
That's awesome.
And he sculled the ball and it hit BT in the chest.
Come on.
And almost killed him.
I'm laughing because he isn't dead. Obviously, if Brandon was dead, I would not laugh.
You know what Licata said?
Yeah.
Sal said, BT said to Sal, if Mike had killed me, would he have come to the funeral? And Sal said, maybe not, but he would have sent somebody. And let me tell you, I get such a kick out of him because, you know, I called him for 30 years.
Yeah.
And just one more point with him.
Yeah.
I called him when he turned 70, okay? And I said, Mike, you know, I've been calling you for four decades, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, here it is 2010. You know what he said to me?
Yeah.
You're not the only one. Instead of him saying, guy, I appreciate, but that's how Mike turned this whole thing around and made him the culprit because he was standing in the wrong place. You hit somebody with a golf ball, you got to apologize. But that's Mike.
You're boring me to tears with this. I'm sorry. I can't go on.
This is just incredible. I just think Mike is just and BT and Sal's hitting the ball, shot 150. It had to be hysterical. But anyway, with the Mets, you got my guy Rogers, and I kind of disagree with you. You're going to need Helsley in top spots. If you can get, because Rogers, you can use him 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Yep.
And Helsley has to come around. You got Soto. I'm not that sold on really, but he's a lefty. And obviously Diaz. If you do get length out of these guys, they're going to be tough. They're going to have to be. I love the fact that they stayed with Beatty. I was pushing him all year on the fan. I got a lot of grief about it. I just loved his swing. Obviously Vientos, you know. There's no reason, and I was on with Spike yesterday. You'd appreciate this.
Look at this. You're calling Philly Sports Talk Radio, Richie. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm up in PA now, so
gotcha.
I got a little annoyed when Spike said, the Mets have got no chance. It's over. So I kind of gave my opinion about that.
But here's the thing. Are you an adult or are you a child? In terms of the division, I don't think he's that wrong. Like, the Mets are still six games back, and I love this team, and they have played the Phillies really tough over the years, but do I think they're making up six games? No, I don't, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think if Spike specifically was talking about the division, I don't disagree with him. But what I'm sure he's worried about, and what I'm sure a lot of Philly fans are worried about, is if the Mets and Phillies see each other again.
Yeah, they're rooting for the Reds to get in.
They don't want to see the Mets.
No doubt.
And I talked about that earlier with you, that even though I don't buy the season series stuff, which I'll get into a lot more later with Yankees Red Sox, I know a lot of people do. And I'm sure a lot of Philly fans look at the Mets, who've won 5 out of 7, plus the 3 out of 4 from the division series last year, and say, we don't want to play them. You can win the division all you want. The Mets have shown they can beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, to the bullpen stuff. Ryan Helsley's going to be important. What I'm telling you is, as badly as he's been pitching lately, he needs some low-leverage spots to reprove himself.
He was warming at 6-3, though.
Yesterday. No, I understand. I'm telling you, I wouldn't have done it. That's what I'm telling you. I wouldn't have gone to Ryan Helsley in a 3-run game in the 8th inning. I wouldn't have done it. I needed that victory. I would have gone to Edwin Diaz, especially with the heart of the order coming up, because that's what it would have been in the 8th inning. But they are going to need him eventually. But I think much like Devin Williams has done with the Yankees, he needs to reprove himself in some low leverage spots. Now, I thought it was very important that he pitched a 1-2-3 inning. Let's not lie. Two of the balls were scorched. Okay. Yeah. The Realmuto ball I thought was getting out, and the ball to Alec Bohm was a rip line drive. Luckily, he struck out Brandon Marsh to end the inning, but it wasn't this dominant inning from Helsley, but you saw what the dugout did. I'm pretty sure that SNY mentioned it. I certainly noticed it at Citi Field. Like, they all came out. They really kind of showed support for him. And maybe just the confidence of a 1-2-3 inning can get him going. But they're going to need him. But I was not comfortable with him pitching in a close game. I'm still not there yet.
And, of course, I'm assuming they stopped the Hells Bells thing, right?
No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Guy sent me a video of him reacting to the Ryan Helsley video. Would you like to hear this?
Sure.
So last night, Helsley comes in the game, and Sean, look, I give him credit. He thinks like me sometimes. As Helsley was coming in, I turn to my buddy and I say, they gonna do it?
Can't do it.
And he says, I think they are. I mean, that's his intro. I said, he stinks.
You could play the song without the theatrics.
Yes. Because what they do is he comes out to Hell's Bells, but they lower the lights. They have this big, you know, fire burning on the scoreboard. Like, it's really, really dramatic. And again, if Ryan Helsley was good, I'd be all over it. Like, I'd love it. So the lights go down, and this guy who is at the ballpark, I guess, was filming it. And so you can hear his reaction to this. Ladies and gentlemen, random fans sitting in the 500s last night as they played the Ryan Helsley intro as he entered the game.
That's so good.
So do you agree with that gentleman's response?
Yes! It's ridiculous. Again, it's a song, it's a song. You can't be doing the whole light. You have to earn that. That should be earned.
I also want to tell the audience this. If you go to a Yankee game or you go to a Met game and you are filming something and you have instant reaction to it like that, you should definitely send it over. I thought that added a lot of color to our discussion. Instead of me just saying, you know, 18 hours ago, that Hell's Bells really pissed me off, you just heard a real live reaction by some dude who clearly sounded upset.
Don't do this
to
this guy.
That's
funny. That's good. He doesn't deserve this.
He doesn't deserve this. And by the way, he's not wrong.
No,
he's not. What I would say, you know who texted me about this?
Who?
Someone on the FAN staff, very quietly, texted me, hey, Evan, I know you're at the game. Did they do the Hell's Bells? Sal Licata.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And I responded to him, yes, because I even tweeted out the video. I don't think he had seen it. And he was annoyed. He's like, you kidding me with this?
Sal Licata.
So I think what has to happen is the player has to go to the scoreboard operators and say, hey, guys, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, until I reprove myself, which he has a chance to do. I'm not giving up on Ryan Helsley. I'm merely saying he doesn't deserve the intro, and I wouldn't have trusted him in a close game. He's got to re-earn kind of the circle of trust. But my God, putting that thing on the scoreboard?
I'm going to tie this into the Giants. I know we have to call it out when I do this.
Go ahead.
He's ruining the Giants kickoff song, too, now.
Hell's Bells?
That's been the Giants kickoff song for as long as we can remember. And we're trying to be positive about this football season. And now the moment they kick off at home, you're going to be sitting there going, this freaking Helsley. He is going to ruin this song for the football team.
In fairness to the Hell's Bells, hasn't the Hell's Bells been used for like a lot of things? We all know about Trevor Hoffman.
It's different at Giant games, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like now, yes.
It's the Giant thing. They ring a bell.
Okay.
It's been years of this. It is the Giants thing.
Well, hold on.
It is.
No offense. You're biased. Brian Rascona, who has done a great job
just
so far today.
Just as biased as him, though. I'm a diehard Giant fan.
Yeah, but you're also a diehard Mets fan.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I think you can be more credible in this.
But
and by the way, it's okay for your mic to be on now as opposed
thank
to
you.
A commercial
thank
break.
You. Thank you. Intern moment right there.
So you have an issue with even Helsley
doing
it? I do,
the first thing I think of when I hear that first bell ring in that song is Daloiso back to kick. Like, I mean, literally. That's what I think of. I think of Giants football. Dude. Let's go. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Let's
Dude,
go.
You hear that play at 101, it moves in your pants.
I'm getting goosebumps talking about it.
Wow. I mean, Scones with the goosebumps, Sean with something else.
You're listening to a New York Giants circle twerk on WFAN.
Ryan Helsley's ruining that.
All I need is Shepard. Dalawiso back to kick.
Yeah, but Scones, if Helsley figures this out and becomes like a lockdown eighth inning guy.
It's still the Giants thing.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It's bad enough the Mets took the Giants
touchdown. I'll give you, you know what? I'll give you another one. Billy Wagner with Enter Sandman. I'm sorry, that's Mariano Rivera.
But you know why that's
and
different?
And I'm a diehard Met fan, but I'm sorry, that's Moe's song.
No, I agree with you. And that was one of the fun controversies around here. I was doing overnights back then in 2006. And Mike and Chris made such a big deal out of Billy Wagner versus Mariano Rivera. And they were both just killing Wagner. You believe this? You believe this? Cloud is... Well, you know... So the beauty of the overnight is we got all the remnants of whatever Mike and Chris talked about.
Yeah.
So naturally, we had to talk about this. And I agreed. As a diehard Met fan, I was like, yo, I know Billy's had it for a while, and it's not like he just started doing it upon coming to New York, but here's the difference in my eyes, and obviously you guys are going to disagree as diehard Giant fans. Mariano Rivera and Billy Wagner were using the song in the exact same way, and one guy's the greatest to ever do it, and the other guy is pretty good. In this case, they're completely not the same. Like, one is the beginning of a football game. The other is a relief pitcher in a completely different sport.
Yeah, but the Giants were very good, and this guy stinks. So, there you go.
Well, the Giants were very good. They haven't been good in a decade, bro.
It's just the timing of it. That's all I'm saying. This guy comes here, starts using the song as we're starting to get ready and be optimistic. And the moment the Giants kick off their home opener in 3 weeks, they could be 0-2. We're going to go, this Helsley ruined the Giants season.
We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019, the toll-free number, plus definitive proof that as a Yankee fan, you should not be intimidated by the Boston Red Sox.